Okay, we cut to Mishrat. Okay, so we'll discuss the halachas of Tu Mishrat, and then once, there's not so much to discuss, but once we're done discussing halachas of Tu Mishrat, we'll discuss Shachiyot and Paris in general, etc. So let's get started. So Shachiyot, Tu Mishrat appears two places in Shulchan Aruch. So the first place where the Rishon really discussed this halacha is in the context of fasting on Tu Mishrat. Is a person allowed to fast on Tu Mishrat or not? So they quote from Rabbeinu Gershom that there used to be a minhag, certain communities, they used to proclaim fasts, they used to fast Monday, Thursday, Monday. So what happens if Tu Bishvat fouls out on one of those days? So Rabbeinu Gershom paskins that you have to push off the fast for the next week. That you can't fast on Tu Bishvat, and the Maram quotes this to Halacha. This is also quoted in Shulchan Aruch on the Rishon. They assume that a person is not allowed to fast on Tu Bishvat. So it's an insert fast on Tu Bishvat if a person... So if a community proclaims a fast, now I have to proclaim a fast in Tu Bishrat. So are you going to tell me, okay, this isn't practical nowadays? So it's practical in a few cases where the posting discussed in terms of fasting on Tu Bishrat. So example number one, again, this is a minhag. This is not such a widespread minhag, but certainly some chassidic communities it is. So what about Shovvim? So Shovvim, let's say Shovvim occurs. So there's a minhag to fast on Shovvim on Thursdays. Every single Thursday, Shovvim needs to fast. So the question that Eliyahu Rabba dealt with is, let's say Tu Bishvat falls out on Thursday. What do you do? Do you fast on Tu Bishvat or you don't fast on Tu Bishvat? So Eliyahu Rabba suggests that in the leap year, so but also, by the way, in the leap year, Shovvim goes also to Parshas Trumas Tetzaveh, so it's Shovvim Tat. So the Eliyahu Rabba suggests that in the leap year, so instead of fasting Rosh Chodesh Shvat, which is also going on Thursday, Tu Bishvat's on Thursday, because Rosh Chodesh is 1, Tu Bishvat's 15, instead you should fast the Parshas of Vayakol Pekudei instead. So it's going to come out as you're fasting for 10 weeks minus the 2 weeks of Tu Bishvat and Rosh Chodesh. That's what the Rabbi suggests. The Prima Gaon is not so happy with this. The Prima Gaon thinks, no, well, if you're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh Shvat and you can't fast on Tu Bishvat, guess what? So you don't fast. So he thinks that you don't have to fast at all. The Shari Tshuva suggests, well, maybe in a non-leap year, really what you can do is, he's not exactly sure, maybe he says, maybe you could fast both Parshas Truma Tetzaveh on Thursday. But, okay, so it seems that there's definitely a bit of a discussion. If a person's noach to fast on Shovvim, so whether they should fast on subsequent weeks to make up for the missed Tu Bishrat fast. And I also point out, the Prima Gaon also discusses, so let's say a person accidentally fasts on Tu Bishrat. So do you have to make fast over fast to make up for the fast that you fast on Tu Bishrat? Because on Shabbos, let's say a person fasts on Shabbos. So what's the halacha? You have to fast another fast for the fact that you're Mevato on Shabbos by fasting. So you make you fast another time. So the Prima Gaon discusses, let's say a person fasts on Tu Bishvat, they have to fast the second fast for now for the Aver, not Aver, but for the fact that you're fasting on Tu Bishvat, you're not supposed to. So the Prima Gaon says no. Because the fact that you have to fast on Sunday if you fast on Shabbos, it's because you didn't fulfill mitzvah on Shabbos. That's like a real halacha. When it comes to the fact that we don't fast on Tu Bishvat, okay, it's like a nice thing. Obviously it's halacha, but like it's not as important, so therefore if a person fasts accidentally on Tu Bishvat, it's not like they have to make up another, they have to fast a second time to make up for the fact that they shouldn't have been fasting on Tu Bishvat. That's what the Prima Gaon says. Okay, so that's, what?
Yeah, for the Shabbos, so is there right, if you fast
on
Shabbos by accident on purpose?
No, yeah.
What if you fast half a day?
No, so that's fine. If a person fasts the entire day on Shabbos, then you have to make up, but you have to fast the second fast. Now, we don't fast on Shabbos nowadays. The only time we've ever fasted on Shabbos is when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos. We don't do Tanya's Cholam on Shabbos nowadays. Or in general, really, we don't really do it. But
parents' yard site, I guess, goes for both questions.
Yeah.
It falls on Shabbos and in this case.
Yeah, when a parent's yard, a person has yard site on Tu Bishvat, so the poskim write don't fast. Well, it falls out on Shabbos, I think. What do people do? Do they fast? Yeah, I think they just don't do it. I'm saying, let's say a person
might do a half day fast on Friday, I think.
Yeah, but let's say a person's parents has yard set, I don't know, whatever, in like the middle of Hanukkah, right? I think they just don't.
Like ever?
Ever. Yeah. I think they just never fast.
They have the Hasidim to make a big
yeah.
Friday. No, but what happens if Chas v'Shalom the Sefer Torah falls on Tu Bishvat? So the minhag is dafka the day when you see the Sefer Torah fall, the rest of the day.
So when you're not allowed halachically fast, you don't.
No, that's what I'm saying. So
first of all, that minhag is a questionable minhag to begin with. Someone told me in Panovich recently that you have to say for Torah, unfortunately. Oh, you heard about this.
Yeah, they
had
to, like,
they didn't fast. Yeah. Like, Gershon said, passing that was also to fast because people won't be able to learn properly, but what they should do is they shouldn't have bread and water. So they're only in bread and water for a day. So it was like a quasi-fast. That's what they did in punishment in Japanese Sefer Torah recently. Is that what you heard?
Yeah,
that's what I heard. I don't know. That's what someone told me. Okay, so fine. So, okay, good. So that's in terms of Shovim. In terms of yards, passing for yards, there's also a problem. Then the other case the post can discuss is, let's say, Chosin Kal. So let's say someone's getting married the night of Tu B'Shvat. So not the Tetzayin Shvat. Or getting married another, they're going to be married to Tu B'Shvat day. Should they chasen kal fast? So that all the posts across the board, right? Mishnah Berurah, Rav HaShulchan, and all the Sfaradi posts can say, do not fast. It's also for chasen kal to fast in that case. It's a separate shayla. If a chasen kal can't fast the day of the chuppah, do they have to make up the fast another day? That's a whole separate discussion. Yeah.
Might be getting too off topic, but is that halach? Is that minhag fasting on your wedding day?
That's a minhag. That's definitely a minhag. Yeah, it's a minhag. The reason for, there's two reasons for fasting on your wedding day. Reason number one is just, we don't want the chassan and kal getting drunk on their wedding day, because if they're in fast, then there's a concern that they're going to get drunk. Oh, guess what? If they get drunk, then there's all sorts of problems of maybe that the conditions aren't real condition. Yeah. That's issue number one. Then the second idea of why they fast is because there's a mechilas avonos. So we see when chassan and kal get married that they get forgiven for all their sins. So therefore, it's like a Yom Kippur, quote unquote. So therefore, to get them that spirit, we have them fast. So practical difference of that is whether they'd have to make up the fast. Meaning, if you assume that's about not getting drunk, they're great. So making up the fast a week later is not going to do any good. Or doing it a day earlier is not going to do any good, because they're not getting married then. If you assume that the reason is that it's some sort of kapara, some sort of tshuva, so it could be then there's an idea of making up the fast at another point. It's all separate. All separate shit, though. Okay, good. So in terms of not fasting, so yes, the bottom line is that we do not fast in any circumstances, so we just don't, we do not fast in Tu B'Shvat. So that's halacha number one when it comes to Tu B'Shvat, Shulchan Aruch. Second halacha appears in Shulchan Aruch when it comes to Tu B'Shvat. Again, it's a bit of a discussion, it's Tachnan. So Shulchan Aruch brings down the minhag is not to say Tachnan on Tu B'Shvat. The Ma'aril brought down some communities that said Tachnan on Tu B'Shvat, but the minhag accepted in Klai Yisrael is definitely not to say Tachnan on Tu B'Shvat. And not only Tu B'Shvat, also the night before Tu B'Shvat. It's also a discussion, but the minhag is not to say Tu B'Shvat tomorrow, Mincha. So we're starting at Mincha tomorrow, we're knowing not to say Tachman. And the Gra even says, the Gra in Shulchan Aruch, when the Shulchan Aruch passes this in Sim Kuf Lam Dav, Hilchos Tachman, the Gra says because of Yom Tov. The Gra says that since Tu B'Shvat is Yom Tov, since it's the Rosh Hashanah, we don't say Tachman. So I think someone told me, I think they asked Rav Shachter once, what's the avoda? I don't remember if it's Tu B'Shvat or is Lag B'Omer. What's the avoda of Tu B'Shvat? So he said, don't say Tachlin. That's like a shock for style. See, for him, Rav Shachter is very big into saying Tachlin. For him, it's an avoda not to say Tachlin. For some people, that's Rav Shachter felt that the special avoda say Yom of Tu B'Shvat is. Yeah, it could be as Lag B'Omer, but okay. Good. Yeah, so definitely it's halacha. We do not say Tachlin on Tu B'Shvat. That's the other halacha in Shulchan Aruch. And also, coming along with not saying Tachlin means also on Monday, Thursday, we're not going to say the Yiratzins after Kriyas HaTorah. Where, now, for Sfarim, don't say Lam Atzeach. There's Machlokes in Ashkenazi, Sfaradi Poskim. We say a paragraph of Tehillim after Ashrei on normally during the week. Right, we say Ashrei and then Vol Tzion, and then between we say paragraph Lam Atzeach. So do you say that on the day you don't say Tachlin? So Sfarim, Kafir Chaim brings down Sfarim, they don't say it. Whenever the Sfarim don't say Tachlin, they don't say Lam Atzeach. Because either Ashkenazim, where there's a discrepancy when we don't say Tachlin versus when we don't say Lam Atzeach. So when we don't say Lam Atzeach, it's only one day when they're like really joyous days that we can't call it Yom Tzara. So Tu B'Shvat doesn't fall in that category. So therefore, we still say Lam Atzeach on Tu B'Shvat. So we'll be saying Lam Atzeach, we're just not going to be saying Tachlin on Tu B'Shvat.
Is that the only time that happens?
No, I'm saying there's other days, like all of Rosh Chodesh, all of Chodesh Nisan. All of Chodesh Nisan, Sfarim don't say Lam Atzeach on time month.
Don't say it at all, Nisan, Tishrei.
Well, Tishrei is come, yeah. But whenever Sfarim don't say Tachlin, don't say Lam Atzeach either. Ashkenazim a little bit more, we have a more...
All the time we say
Tachlin, yeah. We're more narrow scope of
that. It's totally on where they come from. The Litvaks are very cold. They're
going to
say Yom
Tzara. Yeah, Pshat and Machlokes is whether you just assume that the two are interconnected or not. You assume that the definition of a Yom Tzara is different than the definition of just the day we're not going to say Tachlin. So it's a big deal in the Ashkenazi Sfaradi postgame. Okay, good. So that's more in terms of like official halachas of Tu B'Shvat. Then we can just discuss some of the Minhagim. associated with Tu B'Shvat. So minhag number one, which is a big question, so they quote from the Saskai, there's a minhag to daven for a nice esrog, and that would mean him, a nice esrog on Tu B'Shvat. But there's a special hirotzen the person to daven for on Tu B'Shvat, the Ben Yishkai brings this down, all the Kubal, they're big into it. A person should say a special tefillah for getting a nice esrog. Ruchan Kineski didn't seem to be such a fan of that, because he said, right, when did the mission teach that the Yom HaDin is for Peyos Ilan? Shavuos. Right, Tu B'Shvat, what's the halachic significance of Tu B'Shvat? Halachic significance of Tu B'Shvat for halachas of Orla, halachas of Meiser. He doesn't understand why. So Chaim Kinderski didn't seem that he really understood the connection between davening for the Esrog and Tu B'Shvat. But okay, no. So be it as it may, there's a halacha, a person should daven or can daven. You don't need to. There's a nice field printed up. If a person wants to daven for a nice Esrog, there's a whole discussion posting. Let's say Tu B'Shvat falls on Shabbos. Can you daven for your nice Esrog on Shabbos? Because it's a bakashas, so normally we don't do bakashas on Shabbos. So most folks can say, no, it's fine, because it's like Rav Yashiv and Chaim Pinchas Shemer, because they're like, it's a Ruchnius bakasha, so you can daven for Ruchnius things on Shabbos. Others say, no, the Blitzker is machmir. Others differentiate between someone who's a seller of Esrogim versus everyone else. That Yosef Lieberman, the Mishnah of Yosef, says if you sell your Esrogim, if that's your job, so you're not davening for you don't have ruchnius intentions. You want nice Esrogim because you want to make a good profit when it comes Sukkot time. So he says that you can't do. But if you're just davening to have a nice Esrog for yourself personally, then he said you can do. So okay, as a man, it's not such an issue this year because Tu B'Shvat does not fall on Shabbos.
I heard from Rabbi Rangold.
Yeah.
What does Esrog stand for?
Yeah.
It's not an Esrog. I think he said, B'Shem the Bells of Rabbi, he said, Emuna Shlema, Tshuva Shlema, Refuah Shlema, and Geula Shlema. That's what it means that you're diving for your Esrog on
Tu B'Shvat. Okay, good. 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 So if you want to do that, then do that. Good. Now, what about the Tu B'Shvat starm, eating fruit in Tu B'Shvat? So actually, I forgot about, yeah, there's halacha. So Magen Avraham quotes this from the Tikkuni Yisaskar. You know, as the sefer implies, it's a bit of a Kabbalistic sefer. So Magen Avraham brings down the halacha, a person should eat more fruit on Tu B'Shvat. So let's discuss this halacha, but the idea of the minhag of eating more fruit. So there's all sorts of Kabbalistic stuff associated with eating more fruit. So some people, some Mikubalim in the 16th century, came up with the idea of a Tu B'Shvat Seder.
Arizal,
yeah, the Talmidim of Arizal. So they have a whole chavaya for Tu B'Shvat. So the question though is this first of all a good idea? Let's say you're not a Mikubal. Is this a good idea or a not so good idea? So every single year, I think, Rosh Hashanah, at least when I was in this year, Tu B'Shvat, 3 years ago or 4 years, no, 3 years ago, Rav Shechter started his shiur for the first half an hour saying that, yeah, someone asked him about whether they should do a Tu B'Shvat Seder. So he gave a half an hour shiur about Minhagim. Salvechik always used to say that a minhag is only significant if there's halachic kiyum. So he said when it comes to Tu B'Shvat Seder, he doesn't think there's any halachic kiyum. He's not supportive of these. He doesn't think it's a good idea, these Tu B'Shvat starim. And if you think about it, it's very easy to be confused. Pesach Seder, Tu B'Shvat Seder, four cups. I think Tu B'Shvat Seder has dark courses of yayin too.
You go from the yellow. You first use all white wine, then you put in one quarter red, then a two or one third red, then two thirds red, and then the final cup is red. You go from yellow.
So it's very. So if a person doesn't know so much, right, it's very easy to be confused between Tu B'Shvat Seder, Pesach Seder. Oh, they're both starting. They're both very important. Well, that's really not true. Pesach Seder, that's Bob Mitzvah's day, right? So when it comes to this Tu B'Shvat Seder, it's a Kabbalistic idea, which you're not even going to really understand unless you're holding in the Kabbalah. So, I don't know.
It's still a good idea to have more fruit, but without a Seder, without a Seder.
We'll get to the second having more fruit in a second. Right. So, yeah, when it comes to the Seder, again, there's a different sheet. There's like 30 fruits. 10 corresponding to the Olam HaSiyah, 10 corresponding to Olam Yitzirah, 10 corresponding to Olam HaBriya, some say 15, 5 corresponding to each. I think the more the Kolchais, there's a Shev Shev Saminim. Okay, it's different. It seems to be a bit of Machokis, when it's in the Kubal and what to do. Okay, but let's say you're not in the Kubal from Sfat and you're not doing, you know, let's say you're not...
Do you have about Tosif with the Tu B'Shvat Seder?
Why?
Judaism.
Yeah, if a person, you know, the problem also is like it's a big reform thing. Like reform, they're very big into Tu Bishvat. Before, because it's tree is tikkun olam. Right? So,
no, they say in Israel the JNF has to every year they plant all these trees, but then the week after the JNF, after they take all the pictures and everything, they unplant them because it's too cold. It's dangerous. It's going to kill all the trees. They have to dig them back up and then they plant them back like a month afterwards when it's warmer out.
In Tu Bishvat.
Yeah. So.
How
is
it to have fruit?
How is it? No, because reform's very big. It's like Judaism, like it's a racist religion. We focus only on the Jewish people. So this is like about the entire world. It's not racist environment.
Fruit.
What?
To have fruit.
Yeah. They're very big into it. So like
plant trees.
They're
like, what about it is fixing the world to have a bunch of grapes?
Well, that's not the first kasha on reform. I think it's bigger kashas on. Yeah. Yeah. It was good. Yeah. I don't know. So okay, this is an Indian of having more fruit. So this again, this seems to be a bit of a discussion. So that in the Sefer Ayel Sashach, they quote from Rish Damon. Rish Damon was not into. He said that the minhag in Europe was not to have more fruit on Tu Bishvat. No one talked about it. It was whatever. They didn't say tachlin. That was it. So what? Yeah, so he said the minhag was not the Fowl's Margin from. They didn't have more fruit. So one of his like grandchildren brought to Rish Damon at lunch, like he brought him an extra piece of fruit to see whether Rish Damon would eat it. So he wouldn't touch it. he didn't touch it. And Rish Damon didn't eat so much to begin with. He didn't even have a sense. He lost his sense of taste. He didn't have a sense of taste. Both him and his wife, they lost their sense of taste because. And when they first got married after 1945, they lived above a priest for Avodah Zarah. So technically, halachically speaking, if a person doesn't like the smell, doesn't want the smell, and it's not possible for them to be anywhere else, so you're allowed to smell the incense of Avodah Zarah. But with Shem and his wife, they want to be machmir. They don't get any benefit from the Avodah Zarah incense, so they daven that their sense of smell should be taken away. If that person loses their sense of smell, they also lose their sense of taste. So they lost the sense of smell and taste for the rest of their lives because they want to be machmir, not to get any benefit from smelling this Avodah Zarah. Wow. It's a madrigo. It's definitely a madrigo.
But there's a lot of pictures of Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky, like people would give him these gigantic fruit things.
So Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky's minhag was to have he didn't have a Tu Bishvat Seder, but he would have as many fruits as he could on Tu Bishvat. They'd bring all the fruits to his table, he'd try to have as many fruits. That was Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky's minhag. Yeah, so definitely, it seems to be, again, there seems to be different opinions about whether to do it, not to do it. Something tells me Rashach has a vote on Tu Bishvat. It's not. It's limited to not saying Dachlin. I don't know. Maybe he has an extra piece of fruit. I have no idea. Mishnah quotes. Mishnah quotes is Magen Avraham. A person should have more fruit than Tu Bishvat. But yeah. Is that fruit? Yeah. Oh, so including fruits, also vegetables. I saw someone want to say, oh, you shouldn't have more vegetables on Tu Bishvat because Tu Bishvat's Rosh Hashanah for Paris Elon for Mysos, but there's no right. But people don't get confused now between vegetables and fruit. So therefore, you shouldn't have vegetables in Tu Bishvat. But this thing was like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like,
vegetables at all?
That he said that like that doesn't. Yeah, he said that didn't make any sense. Like have your veggies, have your fruit. It's not a problem. Yeah, so there definitely is an Indian brought down of eating fruit in Tu Bishvat. Okay, good. And so also some bring down. So this is also what I want to discuss now, is when you eat fruit on Tu Bishvat. So then you're saying Shechianu. So some bring down that there's an idea from Yishalmi, a person should try to say Shechianu on fruit once a year. So the question is, are we able to do that currently on Tu Bishvat or not? So what I want to discuss is just halachas of Shechianu and new fruits, and how that's going to be applicable not only on Tu Bishvat but year round as well. So yeah. Oh, so Rosh Hashanah. Okay, so we'll get to Rosh Hashanah in a second. Rosh Hashanah is not such a problem because let's say a person doesn't eat any new fruit in Rosh Hashanah. Let's say, you say it anyway. But Rosh Hashanah, the reason why we say Shachianu on the second night is because it's a big machlok in Yishon Geonim, wherever the second night of Rosh Hashanah is really an extension of the first night, in which case you're not going to make Shachianu a second time because you said the first night, or we view the second night of Rosh Hashanah as like its own independent day. So to be strict for the opinions that assume that really Rosh Hashanah is in one extended day, you don't need to make a Shachianu on the second night, the Maharam brings down that you should take a new fruit, and the Shekhan is going to be on that. And that way, it's not really a, it's not such a bracha of a tala, because even if you make the bracha on the day, the bidyavid also works for the new fruit. That's what we do. But if a person has no fruit, so he passes on a bracha, the person should definitely still be making shekhan on the second night of Rosh Hashanah. So that's not such a problem. The question is, aside from the second night of Rosh Hashanah, is a person ever allowed to make shekhanu on new fruits the rest of the year? So we'll just. Okay, so let's discuss that. Yeah, let's discuss whether every 3 months is whether that's definitely not correct. The question is how often is something considered to be new fruit? So the post can say the Ashkenazim, the Sfarim assume once a year. Sfarim will assume that if new fruit's only if it's a new fruit once a year. Ashkenazim assume twice a year. That's something seasonal. It's biennial.
No, that's every other year.
Every year, no. Semi-annual. If something's semi-annual, it's every 6 months, so that's considered to be a new season that a person's able to make shekhan on that new fruit. What we'll get into is now modern-day technology when they have fruits year-round, whether make shekhan on that. But before we get that, we'll just discuss some other halachas regarding shekhan on new fruit. Yeah.
Semi-annual, that's
every 6 months dafka?
Like,
no, I love dafka, I'm saying. Twice a year.
So that's what you had like two months ago. Well, like,
yeah, but if it, but it has to be new, not the same crop. That's, we'll get there. So first of all, let's say a person's not excited about having new fruit, so you have to make shekhan on that. Now let's say a person, you go to the store, you go to one of these Asian markets where you can't read half the labels of what the fruits say. So do you make a shekhan if you're not so excited about eating this strange looking fruit? So this is a major machlokes in posim. Chaim Kinyaskin of Yashav held that even if a person is not excited about the new fruit, you still make the bracha. Who disagrees? So Sheva Levi, Rav Abadi, I don't know, Shem Zaman, and Rav Shach also holds that if you're not, a person's not happy, right, the bracha of shekhan is for the simcha a person gets from having a new fruit. Well, if you're not feeling any simcha, so you don't make a shekhan. So no shekhan if a person's not happy about the new fruit.
How do you determine if you get simcha?
If you're excited, if a person's excited about eating it, good. If you're not so excited about eating it, you're like, this is not what I want to be eating right now. And then
if you go into one of these Asian markets, are you all just assuming that they're all kosher? Fruits.
If it's cut, okay, that's a separate. If it's cut up, that's a separate discussion. What? Nah, most fruits not coming from Israel. Unless, you know, for sure it's coming from Israel.
Yeah, it is.
You can assume that. Definitely an Asian market, you can assume that. Despite the fact that Israel's in Asia, chances are they came from China.
As long as they're full fruit.
Yeah. So fine.
That's not true.
What?
That's not true. There's a lot of times, like persimmons, they say Sharon on them and they come from Israel. And then they might say, I don't know if they'll say if they took.
But
I'm saying like a more random fruit, and if a person really doesn't know, you can assume that the fruit's not from Israel. I'm saying if there's no indications, then we can definitely assume that fruit in America is definitely not coming from Israel. So the question is, let's say you have fruit that's year-round though, right? So let's say the fruit is kept year-round, you refrigerate year-round, is that considered to be new fruit or not? So the Mishnah Berurah, as inside of the contemporary postman of Yashiv and Moshe Feinstein, assume that if a fruit is in the store year-round, even if you only have it once a year, that doesn't make it new. A person doesn't make shekhan on a fruit that's in the store. Just because you have it once a year doesn't make it a new fruit. A new fruit, by definition, means that it's a seasonal fruit. It's only found in the stores at a certain time of the year.
It includes like every fruit, though.
Yeah, so that pretty much precludes almost everything nowadays.
It depends where. Like in America, it's true. I went one time, I was eating... in Israel, it was apricots, like the beginning of the summer,
yeah.
And as he had one of the biggest talmidei chacham in the mayor's house, yeah. And he gave me a can't remember if it was a plum or an apricot. He told me to make a shekhanu, because in Israel it's not year round.
Okay, yeah. So there are some exceptions. If they have the fruit, if they refrigerate the fruit, and they grow it year round, so it's definitely you don't have to make shekhan. If it's in the store year round, you can't tell the difference between the fruit in July versus in April versus in January. That also doesn't get shekhan. The question though is, let's say they have it in the store year round, just as much better in its season. So does that get shekhan or not? So Sefer V'zosa Bracha assumes, he quotes some poskim, that in that case, then you would make a shekhanu. Meaning, if it has a specific season, it's fresh in that season, tastes much better, you could distinguish between the taste in the nice season versus just year-round, so then you would make a shekhanu in that specific case. But it's just, you can't really tell the difference between the fruit in the summer versus in the winter, so then you wouldn't make a shakyana. So it's not subject, meaning how many often you have the fruit is not the only criteria in determining whether you make a shakyana. It's also in criteria of whether it's considered to be a new fruit objectively. And that is just whether it's in its new season at any given point in the year.
What if you don't know if it's in the store all year round, like star fruit? Like, maybe, I don't know if it's there all year round. Maybe it's there 6 months.
So chances are in America. Also, it doesn't only have to be that one store. I'm saying it's not like, I only do my shopping at the Target, but like, if I go to a grocery market store next door, they have it year round. Like, as long as it's in the city.
Well, it's not like a common. Like, there are some, like, Asian markets that will have it all year round, but like, the general stores don't have, like.
They don't have them year round.
Yeah. No, so. Oh, so there's another year. Vayashiv also said, let's say the country of origin, they have it year round, but they won't ship it in to your store at certain points of the year. So Yosha said it's also not considered to be year-end. And say for us, Baruch Pasim, year-round, says it's also considered to be year-end, meaning as long as the country of origin is year-end, so even if in your particular store they're only selling it for a month of the year, that doesn't make it new.
So, Lamarshall, let's say I go to Shalom, I need to buy peaches.
Yeah.
So I can buy peaches from America year-round. In the summer.
Yeah.
But if I want peaches for in the winter, either they've been frozen or like refrigerated for 6 months, or they're coming from South America, from Peru, where they're being grown fresh. So is there a nafkamina there? They're two different crops, they're two different locations that you could get year round.
No, that's the question is when it's in season, in the summer, and they got the Georgia peaches, and they taste much better than the whatever.
No, but I could get it during the winter, I'll get the same peaches, they're just from Peru, they're not from Georgia anymore, because there's southern hemisphere where it's summer.
Oh, meaning no. So in that case, you won't make it. I'm saying if you have access to this particular fruit year round, then you're not gonna make a bracha on it.
Even though they're technically separate crops.
Yeah, if it's the same fruit, if it's the same fruit, well, it gets more complicated if it's like two different types of fruit, meaning two different types of peaches. Like let's say green grapes and white grapes. That's a major machlokes. What? Yeah. Vegetables. So shakan vegetable. No, so shakan vegetables. The post can distinguish between important vegetables versus not important vegetables. So definitely shakan can be said in vegetables. A lot of Ashkenazi posts can qualify that though, meaning important vegetables like watermelon. Right? Halachically, watermelons considered to be vegetables. Melons are considered to be vegetables because they grow from the ground. So something like that would get a shakan if it's like ichve celery or something like that. So that's not so.
Avocados.
Oh yeah, avocado. Yeah. So the post can discuss. There's a big discussion about avocado. It does get shakyanu. Avocado will get shakyanu. It gets complicated. Let's say you put avocado on your bread. Like avocado jam or whatever. So does that get shakyanu or not? Because you're not making bracha on avocado. You're making a bracha hamotzi on the bread. So the avocado is tafel. So when there's a case of an ikar v'tafel, and the shakyanu fruit is the tafel, do you make a shakyanu in that case or not? So Rav Yashiv and Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher and Shevet Levi. Most poskim in that case, you would still make a shachianu on the tafel fruit. However, Rav Sternbach, Rav Sefaim quotes some who are machmer, said if it's the tafel fruit, you won't make it. Rav Sefaim says, really, what you should do, if you want to be machmer, so what you can do is separate, take some of the avocado jam, like don't eat it with the bread, eat it separately. That way you can make the shachianu on the fruit. And so you make hamotzi on the bread. Then you'd make a shakyanu on the avocado.
And then eat what first?
No, so you'd make tamotzi first and eat the bread first. Yeah, because it's two separate fruits. And one comes, let's say a person has a new fruit. So what comes first? Does the shakyanu come first or does the ha'itz come first? Are you the shakyanu?
Yeah.
So this is again a major machlokes. Prima Gadim says really things because of hefsek and brachos that the shakyanu should come first, then the ha'etz. But the post can point out the chazan, the Aruch HaShulchan, and he says that the minog is not like that. The minog is to the reverse. That the minog is to make the ha'etz first, and then to have the shakyanu, make the shakyanu second. That's the opinion. That was Paxos Chazan Ish. I think that's the minog. Hold on, that we make ha'etz first, then you make the shakyanu. Because it's because the eating of the fruit is what causes you to make the bracha shakyanu, even though technically speaking the bracha shakyanu is on seeing the fruit, but the minhag is to make the bracha when you eat the fruits. Therefore, when first you make the bracha of ha'etz, then you're gonna make the bracha of shakyanu on the fruit.
Kind of hefsek either way.
No, it's not a hefsek because it's like the same way like leishib asuk on sukkahs. Since the eating is causing you to make the bracha on the sukkah, therefore it's like all one inyan.
Well, one more, just going back to the previous point. When we say that it's in the area,
yeah.
Let's say you have this, like an exact fruit store, only this store will have it all year, the other stores have it half the year, and then this store will make sure to have every fruit
yeah,
all
so that's
year.
Rav Yosher is no bracha in that case.
Even in that
yeah, case. Yeah, Rav Yosher is no bracha.
And what's the Hagdara? Meaning in New York I could find whatever
yeah,
I want.
He said, he said as long as you can get it, like, Rav Yosher says as long as. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the definition.
Can you just assume that every fruit
meat,
even though you don't know
what yeah, in America, the Satin Rebbe never made a shakhan fruits in America for that reason. And Rav Shachter also, I think Rav Shachter never makes fruit. The only time he makes shakhan fruit is on Rosh Hashanah. I think that's the reason is not to, because really most in America especially, these fruits are found, you can find them year round.
But in
Eretz
Yisrael, you can't.
So in Eretz Yisrael, no, in Eretz Yisrael, if you can't find year round, then you'd make
Let's say I'm coming from America. Is there an Afghamina now? I could have gotten
America. Oh, good. So if you're found in Eretz Yisrael, if you're in Eretz Yisrael, so Shtomach says, then you'd make a shakhan in that case.
So if I have, let's say I have peaches here, yeah. And I go to Eretz Yisrael. So now.
Yeah, so Sharenbach says.
In a month
yeah, so Sharenbach says as long as it's been 30 days between when you had the peaches in America versus in Eretz Yisrael, you can make shekher and the sefer zesa bracha baskins like that.
You were the only one that took like a week on the calendar. Like,
yeah, because it's a new fruit in that season. It's a new fruit in that locale, so therefore Sharenbach says you can make a shekher
on it. And do we assume dried fruit?
Dried fruit, you can make a contemporary.
A shakhyanu and B,
yeah, so technically speaking, you can make a shakhyanu on dried fruit year round. The problem nowadays, dried fruit, you never get a shakhyanu because dried fruit you can find year round.
Let's say I have dried apricots versus regular apricots. Now, I can't get regular apricots year round, I can get dried apricots year round. So, is there enough kamina in that?
I'm saying I wouldn't because according to this post scheme, who assume that. That has completely different taste or whatever. Get a shakhan, so that one.
Even the same mamish, the same.
Yeah, but it's not really. Yeah, it's different taste completely.
No, let's say yeah. But,
yeah, it's
one more shaila is if I am the. This is the first time I get this fruit year, and I've never had it before. Like I come to a new place. Oh, never seen peaches in my life.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter. It's not a new fruit. It's not new fruit. Not. It's not considered
it's not
new fruit.
It's not a din, you have
no. It's a din that the in the locale. Both. I mean, there's two din. It has to be new fruit, and it also has to be you haven't had in 30 days. Mm. But if it's not new fruit, so it's not considered new fruit.
I have two questions. First of all.
Yes, if it's different, it's different. The post can discuss that. If it's a different fruit, you would. If it's like even red and white grapes, that's big machlokes the mug and the rum in the yaivitz, whether you'd make a new shakhyanu or not. And Shai Tzion doesn't. He says yish the kind of like he doesn't say if you can follow either opinion, but if it's two separate fruits, definitely that would make a.
Okay.
As long as they taste different. Man, pomegranates you can find year round though. You'd never make a brush shakhyanu.
Not pomegranate, but like another fruit that you don't find, like whatever, but you have it in the form of like a pie or a cookie.
Oh no! So if you're eating in an abnormal form, that's not really considered to be eating it. Regarding to these broccolis, like the post can say, let's say you crush up your fruit. If you crush up the fruit to an extent that's going to come in shahakol, so you're not going to make a shakhyanu on that because that's not the fruit anymore.
But to your mom's point, for argument's sake. Can only find pomegranates a few, a little while a year. So if you put that like in a salad with like a bunch of different things, but
you don't eat it. So you can make shakhyanu. So you make it.
Think that's one of the reasons they say the minhag to eat pomegranates on Rosh Hashanah. One of the reasons they say for it is because it is a shakhyanu.
Yeah, no, it's a shakhyanu fruit because we're relying on the makel opinions. Also, shakhyanu. Well, on the first, second night of Rosh Hashanah, we're relying on the lenient opinions when you're allowed to make shakhyanu. So I'm saying it's not such a. That's such a kasha. Okay, let's just discuss also quickly grafted fruit. This is a big contemporary issue. So can you make a shekher on a grafted fruit? What?
What's the difference about?
No, grafted fruit is when you take a tree and you take a branch from that.
Yeah. So that's also, you know, that's kalim. There's a prohibition to do. It's a prohibition. There's definitely an issa to do grafted fruit. Question is, let's say someone did violate the issa. The fruit
is an andru chayiv in it.
That's a separate shiloh. But let's say someone violates the prohibition, grafts fruit together. Can you make shechayon on that fruit? So this is a major machlokes in Achorim. So
you allowed to eat the fruit.
Yeah, you can definitely eat it. You can definitely eat it. It's kosher. The fruit's 100% kosher. There's no problem eating it. The question is whether that gets a shechayon or not. So the halachos ketanos assumes that doesn't get shechayon. It's negative ratzon abora. No shechayon. And Rav Avadia Yosef collects all sorts of achronim. And the Sfarad Shaposki can assume like that, that any Shachyan is not recited on grafted fruit because it's not what Hashem wants, the grafting. However, the Yaivitz argues, Chaim Kanievsky assumes like that too, that we would make a bracha on grafted fruit. And then the in-between opinion, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yashiv, they said there's a difference between the grafted fruit itself. I mean, if that's like the first generation of the grafted fruit, you can't make a Shachyan. But if it's like subsequent, if it's subsequent generations, meaning it's not the original grafting, it's like the seeds of the grafting. So that, and then they said you could make a bracha on that type of grafted fruit. And there's three types of grafting that are done. Meaning there's three ways of, you can either graft fruits with the same type of fruit. So meaning you have strong apples, so you have weak apples, so you want to graft it with stronger apples. So that's halachically, that's fine. There's no totally, you can definitely do that. Halachically it's totally fine because you're not grafting two different species. That's no problem with kalim, that's good. You can definitely check out on that. Then there's grafting fruits with not other completely different fruits. So that's like what they do with pears. That's subject to this whole machlokes. Then the third type of grafting, which is more complicated, is when they graft fruits which other meaning which are suffix, whether the same meaning or not. So it's like unclear in post game, which is a lot. So the question is, in that case, can you make shakyanu? So Vadya Sev says, in that case, the post game say that you can be mako because A, you can rely on all opinions, assume even normal grafting, you can make a bracha on shechayon. You can still make a bracha on shechayon. And in this case, not only you also, it could be it's the same exact species, so it's not even a problem to begin with. And Rav Yashiv also said that if you can't tell if the fruit's been grafted, you can't taste, it doesn't taste differently or whatever, it doesn't look different, then you can make a shechayon even on grafted fruit.
So what about these new types of fruit that they make like, I forgot what it's called, where you combine in like, let's say a pear and an apple together. So it's like a new thing. It's not really a pear, subject to
so if you can make a bracha on grafted fruit. That's the whole.
Meaning, as opposed to me, because like there's this meshuggah in LA.
Not the first.
That he decided to make a tree with 40 different fruits on it. Grafted 40 different types of fruit on it.
Yeah.
So like,
all right, that you probably shouldn't be making bracha. That's the whole machlokes.
No, but I'm saying, but each like the plums are still gonna be the plums. The pears are still gonna be the pears. Then he didn't attach the pears to the plum tree. The plums and the pears to make a new type of fruit, a plum pear. You mean, no, the pears and the plums are separate. They're just all one tree, so you don't need to go to the grocery store. You just go to your tree. You can get every single thing you want. But lafuke in a case where you take a plum and you take a pear. And you attach them together. Now you have one new.
I don't know. I have no idea how they technologically arrange this.
I don't know.
I assume that's probably the same as normal grafting. I mean, the halachas of. I mean, what, if you assume you can make a bracha.
Is there a different min?
What?
Yeah.
I mean, like, if you say you make shachayanu on.
Yeah, yeah. If it tastes different. Yeah. Okay, any last questions? Shechayon on fruits?
Is it mutter to have a papaya? Yeah. Or make a shechayon?
That's a little separate controversy.
Yeah.
It's an orla controversy because it dies every year and grows back. So the problem is whether papayas are problems of oil. That's just pineapple oil as a whole. What minutes we make about this? No, I'm saying they have the same controversy of pineapple. Someone put in Lake put this whole countryside like it's completely awesome at pineapples. Yeah.
That was so good, though.
What?
That was so good.
It's okay. They serve them in YU. They had to make it today. Yeah. It's a question about the broccoli. Is it a tree? Is it a vegetable? It's a separate.
Yeah, that was
right. Yeah.
If you graft one fruit that's the broccoli, I eat, and you graft one that's dumb, would you just make a dumb one?
Yeah.
If you graft potatoes to your apple tree.
I guess it depends whether it's a tree now or whether it's a.
You call it tapuka. Yeah. Like a banana and like an apple.
Oh, well, so would that square make it?
No, I don't know if it's possible. The grafting, meaning the way they graft, I googled this.
Yeah.
I was looking at the law office. You have to take two trees. You take two branches of a tree and you cut one in a certain way and you cut the other one in another way and you stick them together and you like tie them together. So it's not going to physically work with taking a like a potato or a cucumber and attaching it to an apple.
Uh-huh.
So no, are there any like,
I think,
are there any like, no. like trees that are halakhically not trees but really
yeah,
work?
Banana
that's
trees.
The question.
Banana. Oh yeah,
bananas.
Right, yeah, banana.
No,
right.
But banana anyway, you're making a hadama, so for sure you'd make a hadama on the.
No, but I'm some bananas.
No.
Big machlokes in Mishnah where we get
hadama.
Yeah,
it's
a mitch. Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question.
I don't know. I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know. Let's see.
Ask a botanist.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think this year would get the most questions of all your years?
No, I don't know.
Rapid fire.
Yeah. Okay, any other Shechian stuff to discuss? I think we covered most of the... So bottom line, it's really hard to make Shechian nowadays on fruit. I'm not saying you can never, but we definitely... Oh, I'll tell you a story. Maybe we should turn off the recording for it.
keep it on.
Yeah, for the oil in here. So one time I was speaking somewhere about Shechianim. So after the shiur, a certain open Orthodox rabbi comes up to me after the shiur to tell me about, I was like expecting like getting like a nice har or whatever. So he starts telling me about the Reformed conservative practices about the Baruch of Shechianim. So he's like, yeah, in Reform that they're very open to make Shechianim, to try and make every opportunity and whatever. And so I was like, okay, right. So I mean, I didn't say anything to him, but like, yeah, if you don't learn the halachas, you don't know that really nowadays we really aren't able to make shechianu so much. So yeah, you're gonna be make shechianu every day. Like I think they make shechianu. We mentioned my basketball game at they made shechianu all 8 days of Hanukkah.
Why?
I don't know. They're big into making it into shechianu. So no, we definitely aren't into that. Even though it's a big machlokes in poskim, however, when it comes to shechianu, so the Bach assumes that suffik, even though normally you assume suffik brachos lahakel. So Shechianu, in the case of Safik, you're allowed to make the bracha according to the Bach, because it's on your simcha. If your person's personally feeling happy, so the Bach says you can make a Shechianu. But it has to be a halachic basis to make Shechianu. You can't just make a Shechianu because,
I don't know what the Bach is.
What?
They probably also don't
know. That's also true.
are there any other foods aside from like fruit vegetables that you can make Shechianu, like meat?
So Mishabur discusses that. Mishabur says that you can't make Shechianu any meat or fruit, because that's always fine. That's fine year round.
Okay.
So that would never get a question.
Yeah.
No fruits, no. No wine, no. Grape juice, I saw it with Sal Yaakov Fisher. I think this is never accepted. And he said that if a person makes wine in his backyard and it's like very special and tastes very different, then you can make Shechianu that.
But is that a dinner in Shechianu on fruit or a dinner in Shechianu because it's
no, I think because it's
like
in fruit. No, I think because he wants to consider wine to be like fruit. But I'm saying if it's not, I don't think the contemporary posts can really assume like that. I think we assume that only new fruits or vegetables will warrant Shechianu. Any other food will definitely not get a Shechianu.
Okay,
so we should make, when we have the opportunity to make Shechianu, we should definitely make it with Kedasi Kedin, and everyone should have a good Tuvisha, and whether your avoda is not Saint Tachon or expands beyond that, Oilam here should have a good Tuvisha.
I get it's not featured.